How flexible is your device? Are you a person on the move and need your device to move with you? The Mesa Fundi goes wherever you go. It allows you to take notes, sketch your great ideas, sign documents and get work done wherever you are. Attach Microsoft Office for the ultimate experience. Make the shift and upgrade to the Mesa Fundi with Windows 10 Professional. The Mesa Fundi, flexibility reimagined. Available online and in store at all leading retailers. Mesa recommends Windows 10 Professional. Visit mesa.co.za for more information.
What's going on? I can't travel to Durban and I really need to see the team. Our telephone bill is through the roof, our server crashed and we've lost all our files.
Are you getting frustrated with problems in your business? Win at work and calm the chaos with Vox's intelligent business solutions. Work smarter, not harder, and connect your business to the world from 899 Rand. T's and C's apply. Visit vox.co.za for more information.
I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast. It's been a big day at MultiChoice today. The company just concluded its annual DStv showcase, which shows off the latest content and services coming out of the pay television operator. To discuss some of the announcements, I'm delighted to welcome MultiChoice South Africa CEO Mark Rayner to the podcast now. Mark, it's good to see you again, first time since lockdown. How are you doing?
Yeah, Duncan, it's been a fascinating time, I think, as it has been for many of us around the world in this crazy lockdown. But it's been a particularly exciting time for us at MultiChoice. We've been, you know, hard at work pushing the product roadmap out the factory door and doing a lot of work on the content side with a fantastic slate. So, yeah, we can go into the detail as you wish.
I was actually saying to my wife the other day that I'm very glad I'm not an executive or a content manager at SuperSport, because the guys there must have had a terrible time over the last few months trying to keep 12 channels going with no live sport.
You know what? They did sort of have to rock and roll a bit and get creative. You know, they were diving into documentaries. They were making special editions. The one I thought was particularly innovative was that remake of the World Cup final. I don't know if you saw that, Duncan, where they got the box themselves to talk over via Zoom, you know, how they were feeling, how it was all going. So it kind of added another layer of emotion to an event that, you know, we love watching again and again anyway. So, yeah, they've had to get creative, but thank goodness the sports are back, you know. So the football seasons are now back and we're seeing things open up. And my gosh, Duncan, you must see the next 18 months lineup now. It's a feast for sports lovers because it's all crammed into the next 18 months.
I guess, yeah, that's we've got to play catch up. So are we going to be seeing tournaments like Super Rugby and the Curry Cup returning to our screen soon?
Yeah, looking forward to rugby. I think it's the last one that sort of needs to really come back. Football has made its appearance in July and August. You know, the story is still finalizing their plans. There's talk of, you know, an internal competition. You might have seen some media around that. And then they're finalizing their plans for New Year. And next year is just a massive bock year with the British and Irish Lions tour. You know, so I think rugby fans are kind of mouth-watering at that with the, you know, the Lions against the world champions. So a lot of history and a nice full tour with, you know, midweek games and test matches. So I think I think the sort of thirst for rugby is building. I know it is in my household. And
rugby lovers. Absolutely. I can't wait for it to come back, actually. So, Mark, lots of announcements made this morning at your DStv Showcase event, which you do annually, media showcase event. Announcement that really stood out for me today, but there were lots of stuff, there is a lot of stuff we need to go through, but the one that really stood out for me was the announcement of the new PVR decoder, the DStv Explorer Ultra, which comes with integrated Wi-Fi for streaming and support for the first time from MultiChoice for 4K content. How important is this particular product for MultiChoice Group?
Yeah, hugely important, Duncan. And I mean, I think apart from those technical improvements you mentioned, like 4K support and integrated Wi-Fi just to make the connectivity experience easier, the real key feature is the addition of the streaming services alongside the broadcast services via satellite. You know, so what it enables us to do is not only deliver our DStv product, but also a better user experience for things like Showmax, you know, Jukes, the music service, and future third-party TV apps as well. So, you know, it gives us a platform to grow the product offering as, you know, new services come into the market that are complementary to the DStv service. And we think customers will enjoy the convenience of one remote control, yeah, and potentially one bill if they choose, and just to enjoy, you know, all the whole content libraries from, you know, from YouTube on one side all the way to premium sport on the other side.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm intrigued. Multi-choice in its press release that it issued today said on the Explorers Ultra specifically about its 4K capability. It said specifically that MultiChoice is not introducing 4K channels, at least not at this stage, although some 4K services will be available presumably through third-party providers like YouTube and possibly others. Given that you're launching a 4K PVR, can we expect DStv to launch 4K channels fairly soon after it comes into the market?
Okay, I wouldn't say fairly soon. I think it's certainly inevitable that we will ultimately do, you know, more and more high quality broadcasting as, you know, as the technology improves and things like compression technology get better. You know, 4K is still very bandwidth hungry, whether you're using satellite capacity or you're using the broadband. So it's certainly something we are looking at. We run some tests. You'll have seen we did some DStv Now tests on streaming last year, and we have the, you know, capability in Showmax in the future. But it's a question of balancing kind of customer demand and then the overall sort of technical ecosystem, and not just the devices. If you think about it, everything from production down to, you know, studio level, down to outside broadcast trucks. So that whole ecosystem is slowly, you know, getting converted as technology improves and you change the component parts along the way. And in time, you know, I'm sure we'll progress to 4K in time.
Yeah. But your existing satellite lease would allow you to do it if you wanted to, or would you have to buy additional satellite capacity?
It's a trade-off. So, you know, satellite's a big pipe and you decide what to put through the pipe, you know. So, you know, at the moment we have a large number of high definition channels and we feel that's a good use of the available capacity now, because a lot of our customers, both on the Explorers and on the single view decoders, have high definition capability. And the TV environment as well, Duncan, is a large number of installed HD capable TVs and a small but growing number of 4K TVs. So as those ecosystems progress, you know, we'll no doubt progress our service to keep giving the quality people would like.
Yeah. I imagine you do quite a bit of research in terms of what your end user customers are using in terms of technology, in terms of the resolutions they have on their televisions. In the South African market, do you have a good feel for what percentage of your customer base is currently on 4K televisions?
Yeah, we watched that and it's still quite low. You know, those figures are available, Duncan, you know, through the research houses and, you know, because the retailers, et cetera, you know, have access to that. And I think, you know, the big manufacturers like Samsung and LG and Hisense in our market are the real big three. And they've been doing a pretty good job of selling those devices for a couple of years now. And increasingly, the prices come down, you know. And so, you know, you see now, if you look at what a HDTV costs now to what it cost 5 years ago, is, you know, it's chalk and cheese. So, you know, as things become more affordable and available to more customers, we look to serve that need with the content that supports it.
Understood. Now, I got a question from a reader who was particularly keen to know the answer to this question. Does the new PVR, and I'm sorry, this is a bit of a technical question, so we might have to hand this one over to Khabdas or someone in the technical team there, but specifically wanted to know whether the new PVR supports HDR and or Dolby Vision.
You really will have to hand over to Khabdas. I know there's Dolby Atmos sound. I'm not sure about Dolby Vision. It doesn't sound familiar to me, but you're asking a reformed accountant here, Duncan, a question about my technical pay grade, I'm afraid.
No problem at all. I'll take that up with Gerda separately a bit later today. And I wanted to ask about, you guys are using H.264 compression, I presume, in your systems at the moment. This may again be a bit of a technical question, but does H.265 compression allow you to introduce 4K without racking up massive bandwidth costs when you decide you're going to do it?
Look, I mean, the improvements in compression technology are important to us, no doubt. I mean, what it means, particularly on the online world, to be able to give great quality content of us, you know, using less and less data is so important, and helping customers keep their data bills down.
Yeah.
Okay. So we generally progress. So, you know, our satellite base was an MPEG 2, then 4, then HEVC, et cetera. And so then suddenly the H.264 and 265 will come. So, you know, it's an evolution, Duncan. I won't be pinned down on exactly when we'll move. But it's again, the value chain sort of moves and you replace the component parts and upgrade as you go. Because it makes for a better user experience, cost customers less, must be a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. Now, streaming, this is going to be an internet-connected box. You've hinted at third-party services that are going to be available. You've mentioned YouTube already. At the occasion of MultiChoice's last set of financial results, there was a slide in there which included Netflix and Amazon Prime Video. And I know the company said that was... just examples rather than commitments to specific services. But are you able to comment at this stage on which third-party services you'll be able to access through the Explorer Ultra, and whether there will be dedicated buttons for some of these services on the remote control?
Yeah, so look, there certainly will be a dedicated button for the app section in general, right? So for quick access to all the apps out there. You know, what we're trying to achieve with this is a platform that enables us to pull in and evolve and pull in more and more third-party services as they come to market. And I think, Duncan, if you see the way TV is evolving, you know, more and more kind of niche services will be created, because content creation in itself is getting cheaper. Yeah. And they'll find an audience. So it's a niche of content that maybe wouldn't apply to a large spectrum of DStv customers, might be interesting to a small number, and might be better served if they can just go directly, you know, via our platform. So I can't comment, I'm afraid, on those names you've mentioned, but yeah. You know, no doubt, you know, announce before we go to market with the final retail version of this in the coming months, we'll be able to tell you which apps are on the launch candidate. But the nice thing is you can keep adding. So, you know, we're not constrained to what we've got at launch. We'll keep growing and evolving as services evolve. And it's important to us also about providing complementary services. So, you know, if you've got what you've got in DStv, and Showmax provides, you know, a great range of sports and drama and all the different genres, but other services may have something that we don't have, and it may be useful for customers to put it in together. YouTube's a great example of that. You know, you can never schedule the whole of YouTube. It's just immense. Yes. But they provide fantastic services for people who want to go there.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, this super aggregator app model that you're following here, and allowing what are in effect competitor platforms onto your box in the interest of, I presume, keeping customers on your platform. But there must have been quite an intense debate within MultiChoice itself about whether or not to go ahead and do this. Was there a lot of debate amongst the executives at MultiChoice about whether to allow competitors?
Duncan, you know as well, we don't do anything without a lot of debate. this is something that's been, you know, debated for a long time. And the international TV ecosystem has evolved as well. You know, so what we're doing is not new internationally necessarily. You know, we've seen the likes of, you know, Comcast and Sky and other players around the world, you know, go in this direction. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, aggregation has always been in our DNA. You know, we used to aggregate, you know, content into channels, and then we aggregated lots of channels into packages, and now the new world enables, you know, sort of fully fledged services to be bundled, you know, together or not. And I think, you know, we believe we provide a convenience layer. Mm-hmm. One remote, you know, one user interface to go find anything you want after a long day's work. You don't want to be faffing around with lots of logins and whatnot. You can quickly go there, see what you want. And if one of the great pieces of content that Netflix have made is available to you there, then great, go watch it. You know, because they've made some great original content, as have we, and as have other providers. Yeah. You know, so I think it's useful. Our promise to our customers is that if you stay in the DStv ecosystem, we'll make sure you see and are exposed to the best of local and the best of international.
Good strategy, I think. So you've already kind of answered my next question. I was going to ask when the Ultra is going to be available to customers. You said in the coming months. So I presume it will be available for purchase in time for Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can't give you an exact date right now. There's a bit of a, you know, retail and logistics chain that's not quite running as normal because of COVID, Duncan, but our planning is in place, and we'll get it into shelves in good time for Christmas.
Sure. But the design of the box is done. It's not as if you're still incrementing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this wasn't the only piece of hardware that MultiChoice announced today. You also announced the DStv Streamer. That's with an A at the end, not ER. The DStv Streamer, which, like the name suggests, is a set-top box dedicated to streaming services. When will this box be available, and what streaming services will be available on it?
So we want to launch the Ultra first. So the Ultra is really our flagship, and, you know, with all the bells and whistles of both satellite and online. The Streamer is a more compact streaming-only device. So if you've decided you've got great broadband in your house, and preferably it's uncapped, and you're not worried about how much TV you watch, this might be a perfect device for you to get the DStv services, and, you know, as hopefully we'll discuss, we're now enabling DStv online as well, plus Showmax, YouTube, and others, you know, other third-party services. So it's kind of a lighter, simpler version for somebody who's just got fast broadband, and that's the method of distribution that they'd like to enable.
Right. Okay. So if you don't want to put a satellite dish on your roof and you'd have no need for a fancy PVR, then this might be an option for you.
Yeah, and there's a couple of interesting use cases. So one is that, like, you know, you've moved into a flat and it's a bit complicated putting up a dish and whatnot. You just want to get hooked up to your broadband port, no problem. Another important use case actually is the multi rooms in the house. You know, so you've got the Ultra in your living room on your big TV for the family, but in the bedroom or study, you know, you want to keep an eye on the other TV. This is a really simple way to do it. Okay. Because it really is, you know, fire up the Wi-Fi, plug in your home Wi-Fi password and your DStv Chumax passwords, and you're up and running.
So most of these streaming boxes that we see in the market today, with the exception of the Apple TV, run on Android from Google. But this box that you've announced today is running a software called RDK, which I believe is short for Reference Design Kit. I had a brief look at the RDK website, and I see it's open source software. Why did you choose to use RDK, say, over Android in building this box?
Yeah, I mean, I think Curtis, my technical colleagues, can give you the deep dive answer. But the high level answer for me is we liked some of the features that it gave the operators, which were better than the Android features. Because RDK is spun out of some technology, actually out of Comcast. So it was originated out of a paid TV operator who then open sourced it.
Okay.
But it allows some of the security features and the operator control features from our side, we believe are better. And remember, Duncan, you know, we put a box in your house. We want to maintain that box for a very, very long time. Yeah. Be able to upgrade it, be able to ensure security is what we want, et cetera. You know, not just sell the box and move on and try and sell you another box next year. We're not a hardware retailer. Yeah. We're a subscription service provider. So we have a slightly different ambition sometimes to people, you know, jumping into the market with simple boxes.
Understood. Now, we've hinted at it already in this discussion, but you've also announced in a fairly low-key way, I thought, Mark, that you have launched Dishless. You no longer need a satellite dish to watch DStv, or technically you haven't needed one anyway, but it's been part of the bundle that you subscribe to, would give you access to DStv now. You no longer need a dish. So this has been launched. Is it priced the same as the satellite product, or did I miss something?
Yeah. So I'll come to pricing in a second. It's funny you say it's a low key way, Duncan, for something that's been a long time in the works for us. Yeah. But it's one of those sort of nice things in product development when you get to the point of saying it's just DStv, but it's just, you know, I get it a different way. There's no other complication to make about it. You know, so the pricing tiers are the same. So you know, we decided consciously we have, you know, a product called Showmax, which does a certain job, and you've now seen the Showmax Pro, and we can talk about what that means for, you know, Showmax lovers or sports lovers wanted to take that. But then we have the DStv pricing structure, which has, you know, tiers from easy view through compact up to premium. And, you know, we felt important to keep it simple for customers to understand that when they get DStv, that's what they get. You know, they can decide on their bouquet and their package based upon their budget and their content preferences. But we didn't want to create a further layer of complexity with multiple pricing, you know, options now.
Yeah.
Who's to say how it plays out in the future, Duncan, but we felt sort of clarity and simplicity was a better approach to start with.
I can just imagine, though, to play devil's advocate for a moment, Mark, that customers are going to argue that the Dishless product should be cheaper because MultiChoice isn't incurring the cost of satellite leases.
But there's other costs, Duncan. I mean, there's costs of content delivery networks, and there's costs of maintaining streaming services and et cetera. Okay. But look, there is a financial benefit for customers because the access fee we charge our PVR customers is not relevant. So there's immediately R100 saving per month.
Okay. All right. Okay. So pricing is the same on there. Now, you announced something today called Ad Movies. I don't want to spend too much time talking about this, but it costs R99 a month. The channels that are available, three movie channels that are available through this service, right? Channels that were previously only on DStv Premium. Just raised a question in my mind. Does that mean that premium customers now have to spend R99 extra to get those channels back, or do those channels still remain on their premium?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Let me kill that one right there. So premium customers pay one price and they get the best of everything. And that's our promise to those premium customers. And, you know, we'll live up to that promise. What we see, Duncan, is a lot of customers, you know, love fresh movies, you know, like we all do. They're a very big part of pay television and a home entertainment experience.
Yeah.
So a lot of the customers on the lower tiers felt, you know, they didn't necessarily want to move to a higher tier permanently because maybe their budget didn't allow, or they didn't necessarily, you know, resonate with that content. But at key times of the year, maybe it's school holidays or Christmas time, they'd like to watch a few more movies. They've got a bit more time on their hands. So, you know, what we provided for is the simplicity of saying, if you just simply add movies, you then get the three premium movie channels, which is the two Mnet movie channels, now rebranded Mnet Movies 1 and Mnet Movies 2, and Flicknet, which previously was just a pop-up channel we use sometimes over the holiday periods with local Afrikaans movies. We've now turned that into a 12-month-a-year channel. So you basically have kind of the best of FlickNet representing some of that local movie category, and then you have the Hollywood Fresh movies on there. So so we see it as something that customers will add and take in and out based on convenience and time of the year, and who knows, you know, Hollywood slate, you know goes up and down as well, and when there's some hot movies on, you know, customers might want to take it up for a month and then go down. So it provides a degree of flexibility and choice for customers on the non-premium tiers.
All right. But premium customers are not being shortchanged in the process. Thanks for clarifying that, Mark. This is obviously a move designed to increase ARPU, or average revenue per user, for MultiChoice. Do you think, given the economic environment, that consumers have the free cash to pay for add-ons like this one?
Look, Duncan, first of all, it's a long-term decision. Okay, so this is something that's been in the works for some time, because we feel it's something customers want and customers have asked for. Ultimately, they'll vote with their wallets, you know, but we like to believe that we've provided something that's simple and easy. And if you compare it to other entertainment options, it remains a good one, Duncan. You know, I have a family of three kids, and every now and again I buy, you know, a box office movie or a movie on, you know, because it's something I want to do on a Friday night. So if it's a person feels there's value in spending 99 Rand instead of taking their family out for other forms of entertainment, then great. They have that option now. And it's quick and easily served on self-service. So you can just go onto our WhatsApp line or onto our app, simply add it, and you don't need to call a call center or anything like that.
Good stuff. Mark, we touched on SuperSport just briefly, but I wanted to ask you as well, during this period where a lot of big tournaments have been rescheduled or even canceled, has SuperSport been able to recover any money it's invested in securing broadcast rights during this period?
Sure, Duncan. That's most of the events have just been deferred, first of all.
Sure.
So they're still coming, so we still pay for them.
Right.
Okay. So there has been, you know, discussions. Some discussions are ongoing with rights holders, but generally, you know, we're supporting our local federations. Mm-hmm. You know, so and we continue to pay for the rights.
Right. Okay. And then before I let you go, perhaps a question a little bit from left field. So I apologize for that, Mark, but there've been rumors in the market for some time that MultiChoice is looking to launch a mobile virtual network operator, or MVNO, possibly with MTN as the network provider. Is that the case?
No, I wouldn't talk on rumors there, Duncan. I mean, we're always evaluating new products and services, but we have no immediate plans to launch anything like you mentioned.
No immediate plans to do an MVNO. Well, thanks for clarifying that. Mark Rayner is CEO of MultiChoice South Africa Mark. It's always good to chat to you. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Pleasure, Duncan. Thanks for the chat.